Hello and welcome to the Monday, October 26, 2015 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. At the end of October, the botnet administrator for the Tridex botnet was arrested and the FBI, in conjunction with other organizations, took over that Tridex botnet, but apparently they haven't been able to really root it out. While during September, we really haven't seen much Tridex activity. Brad is now reporting about some samples of Tridex that he has seen in the wild, and others, like for example Palo Alto Networks, have seen Tridex as far back as October 1st. So certainly some form of this botnet is back. Not 100% sure if these are new infections, that's of course always possible, or if some of the old botnet survived and has been taken over by a new owner. Taking down Tridex was a bit tricky because the Tridex botnet uses a P2P channel for command control in addition to the traditional sort of HTTP-based command and control. Now, the takedown did take that into account and actually sort of used a weakness in how the P2P network was set up in order to poison the communication. But then again, if a machine, for example, was offline during that time or so, it may still have been able to then join the botnet later. Or, like I said before, maybe these are just new infections, like Brad is also talking about how different Excel spreadsheets and Word documents were found with the Tridex bot. And then we got another car hacking story. This time the attacker took a little bit of a different route. Whenever you bring in your car to a mechanic, they're likely going to hook it up to a computer that will read out various status codes from the system. Now, these computers tend to be also connected to the internet, and of course, as a result, are vulnerable to a lot of the attacks that either arrive online or via USB sticks and the like. These researchers now were able to modify the FTDI driver. This is the driver, it's actually a very generic driver. You see it with a lot of sort of USB to serial device and such. That driver is being used to talk to the USB to CAN bus adapter that shops use in order to connect the computer to the vehicle. Now, with this driver, they were then able to decode the messages that are coming from the car or going to the car, and in turn they were also able, of course, to inject their own messages. In particular, they were successful to send a message that would disable the airbag. Now, it's not really clear whether this would affect all the airbags or just the passenger side airbag. Typically in modern cars, the passenger side airbag can be disabled in case you have a small kid or something like that in the front passenger seat that would be endangered by the airbag going off. So many modern cars have, for example, weight sensors or such that will disable the passenger side airbag only in these cases. And in the slides, and I'm going to link to the complete set of slides that I used for their talk, they at one point referred that they were able to decode the message that does disable the passenger side airbag. Of course, this same concept could be applied to many other systems that use USB devices plugged into computers to control various devices. And Malwarebytes is reporting that the German version of eBay, ebay.de, has been used in order to spread malicious advertisements that then lead users to Neutrino and Angler exploit kit. The ad servers used for this particular campaign have also been offering ads for other German language sites. At this point, it looks like only German-speaking sites were affected by this particular campaign. And then there's an interesting new trick to read at least partial web pages using nothing but cascading style sheets. Now, this uses the Unicode range that can be defined as part of fonts. Essentially, the idea here is that you specify a certain font that should be downloaded, but then also specify the particular range of characters present in this font. And this range can be, well, as small as one character. So if this character does not show up on the page, then the font will not be loaded. So an attacker could then use a cross-site scripting attack in order to inject this additional style sheet and at least figure out which characters do show or do not show up in a particular website. Interesting little trick. Of course, you could do more with full cross-site scripting, but since this is not a very well-known kind of technique, it's possible that some cross-site scripting prevention methods will not catch this particular exploit. Well, that is it for today. So thanks again for listening. As always, links to these stories with more details you'll find in the show notes. Talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.